Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off these Friday editorials with a company update from Silvercrest Metals. Traded on the TSX under the symbol SIL and on the NYSE under the symbol SILV. I have on the line with me the president of Silvercrest Metals, Chris Ritchie. Now, Chris, I've been receiving quite a few emails about Silvercrest Metals. Clearly, there's a lot of people following this company closely, and I understand why. You guys are a complete outperformer when it comes to silver stocks, really generally precious metal stocks, but you also have some catalysts that are on a lot of people's radars. One of the key, let's call it studies, that is on tap is a feasibility study. Now, the company does already have a PEA out on the project, but this feasibility study, it just further de-risks the overall project and the overall company. Some of the questions that have come in have said, how should I view this upcoming feasibility? How should we compare this feasibility study to the underlying market cap of the company? What can you tell us in terms of general expectations and what you think investors should be paying attention to when this feasibility is released?
Sure. Thanks, Corey. I can't get into very specifics just because we haven't released a lot of the details, but I can speak high level and contextually. So the PEA outlined 88 million mineable ounces. And again, for people who are a little less familiar with the details, if you drill at really tight spacing, you can include it within a mine plan. If the drill spacing is not tight enough, it does not get included in the mine plan. So we had 108 million ounces, but again, only 88 were in that mine plan. I think if people were to assume 85 to 95 million ounces within a mine plan of the fees, that might be a safe assumption. And just to kind of think about that, on top of that, if we were to have, 115 to 130 million resource ounces, so again, these would be additional ounces, and again, not additional in total, but the difference between the 85 and 95 and 115 and 130. The difference between those would be ounces that will not be included in the valuation. If you'd look at $23 silver and $1,900 gold, the PEA would be valued at around $720 million. So that's a study that was done in May of 19. And again, does not include all the drilling we've done since then. So again, today, what we're thinking for the fees is that the cutoff grade that we were using in the old study was lower. There's a chance that cutoff grade goes up, which means some of the tons and ounces that were removed from the study are the lower grade tons and ounces. And there's a chance that some of the higher grade tons and ounces will be included in the new study. So you lose some ounces, you gain some ounces. So we're hoping to see a study that has an improvement in grade. And that's going to be hopefully impactful as it relates to the cash flow per year and the production profile per year. So there should be some differences there that we're looking forward to finding more details on. And again, then when you take the difference between the ounces in the mine plan and the ounces that have not yet been drilled off appropriately, you have to take a discount to those number of ounces, because again, you probably will lose some of those ounces when you do drill them at tighter drill spacing. So again, if it's somewhere between 20 and 30 million additional ounces, maybe you want to assume 15 or 20. And again, there should be value attributed to that. And that would go on top of the valuation to the fees. So again, our market cap today is about 1.1 billion US. So again, if you take that 720 million, which is the PEA value at today's prices, without adding anything to any positive changes that might or might not have taken place, plus the additional ounces, you can get something where we're trading, maybe close to that market cap. Most development stories do trade at a discount to their net present value. Okay, now a lot of that is because they don't have permits, they don't have financing, they might not have the team or ability to get into production. So there are discounts to that number for a really good reason. We are not in production, and by us trading in and around that NAV level, takes into consideration a few things. One is that we do have a team that can build this. Our CEO's built 6 mines, and our COO built the largest mine in Canada. Financing for us, we'll talk more of that in this shortly, but not a big factor in the grand scheme of things relative to our market cap today. And growth. So a big part of our story is that we're still very much in the early stages of drilling and not necessarily getting full value for the potential that we would have. So I think we've actually pulled back a fair bit. You know, we've traded probably close to 27 to 30 million shares above the $12.50 level. That's the Canadian level. So here at, you know, 11.50, there was a lot of profit taking, you know, people really kind of doing well from the previous deal or the previous run up. So I think people looking at it from the valuation perspective, you're getting in a lot more of a comfortable range down here.
Chris, what about some of the data you can give us on how silver producers, either small or large, are traded in terms of times over price per NAV when it comes to valuations here? Because you guys are making the move into being a producer, so what sort of re-rate is possible?
Sure. I read a report a few weeks ago from one of the brokers talking about the senior producers having valuation metrics at roughly 2.5 times their net present value, and also looking at things that were trading at, you know, 12 times their operating cash flow. So again, if we're trading, you know, like I said, within a range or a band close to around NAV, if and when we can get to production successfully, there would be a potential re-rate for that metric. We hope to have a very strong first 5-6 years of production based on the grade profile that we're seeing. So again, you know, the PEA had roughly 14 million ounces per year at roughly $5 all-in sustaining cost. So again, if you take 14 million ounces multiplied by $18 margins, $23 silver price minus $5 all-in, that would be a pre-tax free cash flow. So again, you know, 12 times whatever number you want to throw in there in terms of your silver price also gets a much higher number. So, you know, if we can get even halfway to that metric, you're probably looking at something with a 50, 60% upside. So that's one way to look at it. Another metric that I think is really important today is that so much capital has flooded from the bond market to the equity market because there are no yields. And today, the senior producers trade anywhere between 8 to 12% free cash flow yield. So that would be an after-tax free cash flow divided by the market cap. So 8 to 12%. So again, if you go back and look at that 14 million ounces a year, $18 margins, you know, you could be close to 200 million of after-tax free cash flow. And again, our market cap is about 1.1 billion US. So you're closing in on about a 20% free cash flow. And again, that's a hypothetical or a potential free cash flow, just to make sure that people are aware. And there's obviously still risk. So migrating towards that would be quite interesting. And if we can hit that number, it would also suggest within the first 5 years or so of production that we could have the entire market cap in cash as well. So again, that potential is quite interesting. And then as we've also discussed in previous shows, we hope to drill extremely aggressively throughout the construction timeline so that we could increase, hopefully increase the number of ounces we have so that we can increase our valuation and actually get cheaper as we're moving towards that potential re-rate.
Let's talk about the drilling then as well, because look, you guys have built a over $1 billion company right now on the back of very successful drilling and capital efficiency. That's why you still have a very nice share structure and an over $1 billion valuation. What's going on with drilling now? Where's the drilling focused? How many drills are on site? Please give us a general update.
Sure. So right now we have 8 drill rigs turning on site. I think it's one of the top 2 or 3 largest drill programs in North America. To remind people, we've probably spent about $80 to $85 million in total to date, and that's since 2016, on drilling. So again, if you think that 85 to 95 million reserve ounce number is a reasonable target, you could argue that for every dollar we spent on drilling, we found a reserve ounce. We hope to spend, and this is going to be success dependent, we hope to have the budget or to be able to spend roughly $60 million in the next 2 years, and that's 2021 and 2022, on drilling. So again, about 75% of what we've spent so far. Now, past success does not, you know, indicate future success. But again, finding 75% of 80 to 85 million ounces, or even 50%, if we can find another 30, 40, 50 million ounces in that time frame, that hopefully will translate into significant free cash flow or a nice bump in valuation. So again, making us cheaper relative to where we're at. We've spent about $125 million to date on everything. So that's getting the project ready for production as well as drilling. So we've added about $8 or $9 of value for every dollar that we've spent. So again, us spending another $60 million, again, if we can be half as efficient with those dollars, it's still very accretive for us. So the priority of the drilling are on two main targets right now. One is Babi Vista. That is our highest grade vein on the property. That is a vein that was not included in the PEA, and it's a vein that we hope to be accessing very early in the mine life. So again, if it's higher grade being processed earlier, you could see that translating into more cash flow and a higher production number. So we think we have about 150% more vein length to drill off on that particular target. And that's something that's possible within the first half of next year. So again, some of that will be in the feasibility study, but that additional 150% will not be. So again, that's potential added value that we could tack on at some point. The other main target we're working on right now, and we have three of the eight rigs on this new target, is drilling to depth. So far, everything we've been doing is the low-hanging fruit on surface. We're very cognizant of being efficient with our capital and everybody else's capital. So we've not wanted to drill deeper targets, but we're starting to have reasons to believe it's a really good thing to be working on. If we are successful, you might see a few ounces in the feasibility study for this. But it's more blue sky potential. If we are successful at depth, it could open up the door to us finding parallel zones below some or hopefully all of the 43 veins we have across the property. And that means from the scale potential, expansion potential, growth potential, that we've got a really nice amount of running room to go after. So we should see some news releases out before that feasibility study on both of those targets to give people a little bit more confidence. And then the other big target that we are really excited to get working on is El Picacho. That's the new acquisition we made. That is something that's about 85 kilometers away via highway. And we're working on getting those permits and everything set up to drill. And that's going to be a really big target for us in 2021. And again, that's something where any tons or ounces that we would find are obviously not going to be included in that feasibility study. But it's something that we might be able to add on top of the production profile that we're currently outlining in the upcoming study.
So, Chris, this drilling at depth, it's the first time I've heard you really mention this as one of the key targets. Is the drilling at depth under any certain veins? What more detail can you give us here as to what you guys are potentially seeing?
The prioritization of all drilling is to optimize the front end of the mine life. So again, if we can put higher grade through the mill earlier on, we're just increasing the free cash flow profile. So that's the priority focus. So this deeper zone is below the Babi Canora area, and our targets that could contribute to the production profile in the first 5 or 6 years. You know, we're already underground mining right now. So some of that drilling's from surface. We hope to be able to access that via the underground development that we're already doing in short order. So again, it's something we're prioritizing for the first 5, 6 years, hopefully. So that is, you know, again, a new story that we hope to be able to talk about very much so in the next few months.
All right, let's also talk about the shares, how they have been trading. You even mentioned there has been a bit of a pullback here in share price. And right now, the share price of Silvercrest Metals is trading at more or less the bottom of this range that it has put in. Now, it's not an overly large range right now. You're only about 20% off of your all-time highs from about 2 months ago. But what can you tell us about some of the trading, maybe some of the selling that has come into the stock just in this recent past?
Sure. In my old career, I used to be a trader. So, I mean, I watch these things very, very closely. We've been very fortunate to be in a nice, strong uptrend for quite some time. So we've kind of oscillated between the upper ends of that band and lower ends of that band. And as you mentioned, we are near that lower end of that band, which has tended to be a very, very strong support level for us. So post that pandemic, you know, market sell-off that we saw, we almost touched, I think we did touch $15 Canadian. And for a lot of people at those levels, it was a great moment to take some profit. And we have seen a large amount of selling, you know, above at higher levels to where we are today, which is a very, very healthy thing. You know, people rotating into names that were that hadn't moved yet. And again, just right-sizing their position, all really healthy things that needed to take place. So now that we're in that bottom end of the range, with that much profit taking already have taken hold and gold and silver pulling back, we've seen a really strong support level start to kick in. The 200-day moving average is $10.40, and that number's trending higher. The stock's kind of comfortably held above those levels for quite some time now, which is great. But more importantly, you know, a lot of the funds that are supporters for us have right-sized their positions. Because again, there'll still be more financing required, and you want to have visibility that there are supporters. And again, for us, having a lot of institutional investors having trimmed or supported, or retail investors kind of trimming, it just allows people to have a much healthier position for the longer term or the next wave up. So I think that's we're very cognizant of making sure that everybody's got a nice solid base to be building from. And we hope the next few sets of news releases, the next feasibility study coming out, and then getting through the financing needs, you know, hopefully going to just be a nice springboard for further upside.
Hey, fair enough. There are a lot of catalysts coming again for Silvercrest Metals. You just mentioned there the tail end financing potential. I know the company has a lot of money right now, and the overall CapEx to bring the project into production is only $140 million. Give us a little update on where the company stands for cash and what financing options you're looking at.
Sure. Today we have about $145 million US on the balance sheet. At the end of the year, we think we'll have roughly $110 million. We do not have the final CapEx numbers for the project, but you know, somewhere between $130 and $150, I think, is quite reasonable. So again, that does sort of identify a shortfall of maybe roughly $30 to $40 million for that component. On top of the CapEx component, you need to have some money for working capital, and that means your first, you know, 3 to 6 months, if there's any challenges that you can weather that storm. A minimum cash balance you want to have on hand, that's maybe 15 to 20. All the G&A, the overhead, the COVID costs, you know, they're 15 to 20. And then drilling, we talked about having roughly a $60 million budget for that. If you add all that up, it's probably in the neighborhood of about $160 million US of additional capital on top of that 110 that we would need. To put that in context, we are working on having some debt options available to us. And for us, if that was a roughly 50-50 split on the debt equity, that would be roughly a, call it, 6 month payback on the debt at today's commodity prices based on us executing fairly well. So again, we think that's a very conservative and modest approach to the use of debt. And if it was roughly $80 million of equity, and again, we're still working on strategy here, that would be around 6 or 7% dilution. So again, very negligible on that front. So again, you know, when you put it in reference for the other financings we've done in the past, the last financing was very tightly held. We had about 4 or 5 shareholders, be about $85 to $90 million of demand. The deal before that had over 50 investors. Participate in that, and that's 50 institutional investors participate in that. So everything that you've seen happen in the gold and silver space in the last while have only pulled more and more people to the space. So it's something we want to mention to people, and we'd also highlight to people the performance of our stock after we've raised money. We always try to create strategies in which participating in our deals, or even more importantly, buying the stock ahead of deals, has been the best strategy. Usually in the junior mining market, stocks sell off aggressively before financings, as everyone just feels as if it's a zero-sum game. Our financings have gone the opposite way. So we're still making up our mind how we'll consider doing that. But again, just to highlight to everybody that, again, our financing so far have been positive events, and the amount of equity required relative to our market cap is very modest. And again, from a risk profile perspective, again, the hard work has been done.
All right, Chris, we're going to wrap it up there. I appreciate you addressing some of those questions that have come in recently. And everyone, keep on sending me those questions, fleck@kereport.com. I'll get Chris to keep on answering them and keep everybody as up to date as possible as we near the release of the feasibility and undoubtedly more drill results. So, hey, Chris, really appreciate your update here. Thanks for taking some time on this Friday. I hope you have a great Canada Thanksgiving long weekend, and we'll follow up, I'm sure, in a few weeks.
Excellent. Thanks, Corey. Appreciate your time.